It's the Hoffman Show. We're on the Team 980. We're always live as well on the free Odyssey app. We are streaming live on YouTube at the Team 980. And it is time on a Friday for our Pick 6.
The six biggest Commander storylines.
It is caught!
Delivered at 6 o'clock sharp. It's the Pick 6 at 6.
We set out to find a leader, someone who could take this franchise to the next level, build an elite team that consistently competes for championships.
So the Friday version of the Pick 6 goes a little something like this. We pick the six players that we think are going to be most impactful in the Commanders game over the weekend. It's the most impactful. It's not necessarily purely specific to the Commanders. So if we think a Steelers player is going to be at the top of that list, then okay, that's fine. The only rule is you can't pick the quarterbacks because that's too obvious. That is the given every single week. So with that explanation for folks that are new to the show out of the way, Anthony, you are on the tee first this week, I do believe. Who you got? Number one in our Pick 6.
Number one
in our Pick 6, Mr. Hoffman, will be a Steelers player on the offensive side of the ball.
Oh, yes, sir. That's not what I was expecting.
Uh-oh. He goes by the name of Najee Harris. Early this week in your chat with Andrew Filippone, he talked about how successful Harris has been the last three games. He has rushed for over 100 yards in his last three games for the first time in his career, and he's averaging 5.96 yards per carry over 54 carries. Craig, that is very concerning, especially against Commanders defense that has sort of kind of been up and down when it comes to defending the run. Even last week against the Giants and Tyrone Tracy, he gashed for 73 yards. So in the first half, anyway. So I'm just saying we need to limit what they do best, and that's running the ball, because their run sets up the pass, and I'd rather them not be able to do that. So I think Najee Harris stopping him is important.
I think that's a great call. Najee, here's the good news and the bad news.
Okay.
The good news is Najee Harris has never, before the last three games, run for 100 yards in three consecutive games. The bad news is that before the last three games, Najee Harris has never run for 100 yards in three consecutive games. So the law of averages says he's due for a stinker.
Okay.
The heater effect, if you will, says he's on one, and he's figured some things out, and their offensive line's starting to come together a little bit. But it was interesting listening to Logan talk about their run game, and I always love listening to Logan talk about the run game because he's such a nerd about it. And I mean that as a full-on compliment, one that he would take very happily. But he said that it's just not very sharp the way that they run it. Like their double teams are not on the same level. They miss target runs. So like there's opportunities to make big plays for the Commanders and get them behind the sticks. And Najee's also not really a home run hitter. So if you do miss him at the first level and he gets 5-6 yards, it's not as big of a threat to go for 60 as some of the other backs that they've played this year. That said, death by 1,000 paper cuts, you still die. So Najee Harris, the consistency that he's had the last couple weeks, the way that it sets up the play action stuff for them, I think that's a really good call for number one.
Number two.
I'm going to try to stick with a Commander here, but I'm going to go one that you probably don't see coming. How about Percy Butler?
Oh, I didn't see that one coming. Left field.
By the way, he named one of the captains this week. Yep. They went big on the captains, by the way. Terry and Bobby are the other two captains this week. Percy, one of their best special teamers, also gets the nod, is technically the special teams captain. But here's the thing about Percy Butler. He plays a lot. And we think of Chin and Kwan as the starting safeties because they are. They're the guys that in two safety sets are playing the most. There have been some times recently where Kwan has come off the field and Percy stayed on. So I gotta do more digging on the consistency of that, whether that was like a one game thing. I think it happened against Chicago. I gotta go back and actually look at that. Note to self, check out Percy Butler's snap count last week. But the reason I say Percy is, one, his presence on the field allows Chin to play in the box. And so going to your point of Najee Harris, getting the best personnel grouping for them on the field is that big nickel package where you got two corners, three safeties, or dime, three corners, three safeties, and Percy's out there in both with Chin playing in the box as a run support player, also playing on tight ends. Pat Freiermuth is a good one, and Chin has drawn a lot of those assignments. But then in the play action game, okay, we're going to leave our corners one-on-one on the outside with maybe a single guy over top. Who's the guy that's over top? It's Percy. He is the fastest guy that they have on the back end. He covers a ton of ground. And I know Quan's probably been in that position maybe a little bit more this year. I think that Percy could be in position to make some plays over the top as a free safety playing, you know, that center fielder type role. So Percy's ability to cover ground in single high looks against a team that likes to throw it deep, but also cover a ton of space underneath and allow Chin to play in the box. It's a little bit of 3D chess. I could have just said Chin probably because he's going to be really important, but they're all important. I'm going to go Percy Butler as number two.
I love it. I love it.
Number three.
Number three, Craig. I'm going to go with our guy, Chris Rodriguez. I think he is the closest thing that we have to a Brian Robinson when it comes to the physicality and being able to, you know, run through tackles. He isn't as explosive as B-Rob, but in terms of like carrying guys, not going down on the first contact, I think he does his job. And last week against the Giants, we saw him seal the game for the Commanders. And I think in part to why we didn't see a lot of him last season, because he had that fumble against the Giants where we also just had a ton of turnovers in general. So I don't think that should have been a huge knock against them. But I think if we would have saw a little bit more out of C-Rod had he not fumbled last season, I think this coaching staff would have been a little bit more higher on him coming into the season. But, you know, he stuck around. He waited for his chance. And that's what, you know, Dan Quinn and the offensive coordinator, they've spoke about him waiting for his opportunity, him going out there and seizing it.
So here's the thing about Chris Rodriguez. There are, I don't mean this disrespectfully, there are a lot of Chris Rodriguezes out there. There's a lot of guys that could play, like relatively speaking, who are good runners that are just like, you gave them the ball and said, hey, first and second down type of stuff, we're just going to hand you the ball on outside zone or bounce or what duo, whatever. Pick your run that they're good at, they can run it. The reason playing running back in the NFL is so daggone hard is because of all the other stuff. Do you hit the pass protection responsibilities? Do you understand the targeting and the timing of runs that it, when it's not as freelancy and it's not, oh, you're out in the open field or, oh, one-on-one with a guy in the hole. Like, can you make your offensive line better? And those nuances of the game, I think, are where a guy like B-Rob separates. Like, B-Rob's so good at all of that. He's a great receiver out of the backfield. With Chris, I think he's a tremendous runner. And so I think we saw that last week. But it's also the reason he didn't make the roster. Yeah. He's a guy like McNichols. Is most of what he is a runner. Let's say it's 85%, yeah, which that 15% can be important. But you know he's not going to miss in pass pro. You know that he's going to run the routes precisely. You know that he's reliable catching the football. But against this Steelers team, you need a guy who can run it. Like, it still is called running back. It's not catching back. It's not blocking back. Like, you can have Eckler and McNichols come in and do some of that stuff in certain situations. You don't want to be a dead giveaway that when Rodriguez is in the game, it's a pass or it's a run. But like, let the running back run. And don't oversimplify it. And Rodriguez had some hits and misses last week in pass pro. There's one where he had it in the same play. He missed his assignment, yeah, and then Jaden was able to duck it, and then he became a lead blocker out in space. And you're like, that's not really what your blocking assignment was here, but way to not quit on the play, kid.
Yeah.
So Chris Rodriguez, I think, is a great call. Can they use him on more than just running plays? How effective is he on those running plays? I think that's a really good call. He's obviously going to be important because Brian Robinson is out this weekend. When we get back, the back half of our pick six, I've got two more. Anthony's got one. But first, let's get an update on the latest in the world of women's sports presented by Wawa. Gotta have a Wawa. It's Often Show. We're on the Team 980, wrapping up our pick six here, always live as well, on the free Odyssey app. Picking the six players we think will have the biggest impact in the game on Sunday. And Anthony, I'll pick up here with number four.
Number four.
Yeah, I'm just going to go the easy way to explain this. I'm just going to go with T.J. Watt. I was like, do I go Andrew Wiley? Do I do a wacky bit and talk about John Bates? No, I'm just going to say the guy that they're blocking and why those two are important. T.J. Watt's awesome at football. Great. Good analysis, Hoffman. Nailed it again. They should give you a Marconi. T.J. Watt is a really, really patient pass rusher, but also at times can get a little caught up field. So I think that's actually better to talk about Watt in this way too, to not just try to make it on the Commanders, guys that are going to have to block him. And like, look, we know that Wiley one-on-one pass block set after pass block set is not his ideal situation. They've done a good job of keeping him out of that this year. So whether it's with guys like Eckler or McNichols chipping, Bates, Ertz, Sinnott chipping, straight up just like double teaming him, all that stuff is really important. But there's also an opportunity with T.J. Watt, and I know that sounds crazy. I know that sounds nuts. But he does like to come real vertical up the field. And if Jaden insert against certain coverages and with certain route concepts that create space, if he can be decisive and be like, forget waiting here, maybe something will come open down the field, I'm just going to run and take yardage right now, he could have a big rushing day. And then, obviously, Watt's going to have to be less aggressive in his rush, which then lets Jaden have more time in the pocket. And so you kind of have to pick your poison. That is the hard part about playing Jaden Daniels. So, one, I think you're going to see a lot of different variety. Two, you're going to see Jaden try to take advantage of that. And three, if the game gets out of whack and the Commanders have to drop back and pass a ton and T.J. Watt just gets the tee off, that is terrifying. And again, Jaden, if you see Watt coming, cover the football. He is unbelievable in terms of how often he gets strip sacks. So T.J. Watt, I can't believe he made it to number four, but he's number four.
Yeah, he's tied in the NFL for first in a forced fumble. So definitely want to be on the lookout for that guy.
Yeah, you don't say. All right, you got number five.
Number five, Craig, was more so torn between two guys. I'm gonna go with Terry. My other guy was Luke McCaffrey. For all the reasons you said earlier about this finally being one of those games where he could actually, you know, have opportunities. I feel like Tomlin's going to try to take Terry away. Like, whether they bracket him or even if they do, you know, leave him on an island.
Yeah, I think Tomlin does. Joey Porter, look, here's what's going to happen. Joey Porter Jr., Brooke told us this earlier. Joey Porter Jr. is walking around being like, I follow number one receivers. And it's not personal against Terry. It's not like, oh, I'm going to lock McLaurin up. That's who he is. He follows their number one guys. They play a decent amount of man-to-man. He's really good at it. And if Terry can say, like, nobody guards me man-to-man and have a big day, the Commanders could win this game going away. If Joey Porter Jr. is able to limit Terry, well, then the offense gets a lot more complicated.
Yeah, it could be a long day for sure. But, yeah, I'm going with Terry. I think this is a good opportunity for him to continue the season that he's had thus far. The loudest, you know, 19-yard day of his career.
Yes.
But yards-wise, you know, a relatively quiet day. But I think he can just build on, you know, all the other performances that he's had this year. He's gone over 100 yards several times. And I think this is a spot where he can go out there and help his quarterback. Again, like, he's going to have his opportunity and is going to more so be on Jaden. So, you know, look for him and have that trust in him that he's had in him all season.
Yeah, there's definitely a chance that the other guys are huge here when it comes to, you know, Noah Brown could have a big day. He was their leading receiver last week. Luke, again, is a guy that pops on tape, and it's just like, man, if they can get him some looks. And Jaden's seen it. I'm sure in the meetings they're like, hey, you know, if Luke's in, he's doing a good job. And we've seen it some key spots. Like, Jaden will look to Luke. He knows he can rely on him. It's just he's not a guy that at this point in his career is being put first or second in a lot of progressions, and Jaden's doing a good job at hitting the guys that are first and second. But a part of that is, too, because, like, they trust Luke. Hey, man, if we need you to run an over route here at a certain depth to create the space for someone else, like, Luke's going to nail the route. So he's playing an integral part, even if the statistics aren't necessarily showing it. I think OZ, and I think I might I'm just going to say this here. We can put it down as an honorable mention as a just in case, because I want to talk about another defensive guy next. So I'm not going to double up on receiver. But I think it could be an interesting Diami day. Like, I think that another way that you prevent some of the TJ Watt, and by the way, they've got, you know, Alex Highsmith. They just acquired Preston Smith. Like, Cam Hayward's still really good. Their pass rush is more than just TJ Watt. Screen game becomes enormous, and Diami's been their best screen runner this year. And not to mention, you go make a play. How many times have we seen this team reward guys who makes plays? Mm-hmm. Or reward guys who make plays, right? McNichol's snaps go up as soon as he starts making plays. And Diami last week, that 3rd and 18 late, that set up the touchdown or the field goal. Was that the one before half?
That was the touchdown. Maybe?
Yeah. So Diami getting more chances. He's the guy, the way he runs with the ball right now. You got to find a way to get Diami Brown the football. And who would have thought we would have said that? And not on like, hey, throw it deep and let him run under it. Like, get him the ball and let him be a playmaker. And so Diami asterisk here. But my actual number six.
Number six.
I am going to go with I'm going to go with Frankie Luvu. And the reason I'm going to go with Luvu is because they move him around and they try to find matchups on the other team's worst pass protectors. Well, Broderick Jones is playing right tackle for them. And Broderick Jones has not exactly been good. He's not good. And so if they just line Luvu up on that edge and he can get after Russ, that's huge. But here's the thing. Luvu has gotten good pressures. He hasn't finished as much as of late. So if he finishes the way he finished against, I think it was like Kyler, was one other game that he got a couple, then the Commanders are in excellent shape. If he doesn't, Russ starts running around, and these corners have to cover for 5 seconds down the field, that's obviously less than ideal. So I think Luvu as their matchup hunter on Broderick Jones, but they've also got some other guys on their offensive line that are up and down. They do get their center, Zach Frazier, the rookie back, which is a big deal. But I think Broderick Jones, you know, there's a reason that they drafted Troy Fitanu, who is on IR, and it's so that Broderick Jones wouldn't have to play. And it's not going great for him at right tackle. So Frankie Luvu, Dorrance Armstrong, you know, as well. But if you want, even if you want to write down Broderick Jones, you could write down Broderick Jones, and that would kind of cover what I'm talking about. All right, it's the Hoffman Show. That's our pick six. Six players that we think are going to be most interesting to watch on Sunday, sans the quarterbacks, in Steelers and Commanders. When we get back, Wizards are in Memphis tonight. We check in with Wizards play-by-play voice Dave Johnson next on the Hoffman Show.